This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. We have Dr. Kelly Cairns back with us, our monthly vet visit. Dr. Kelly Cairns, DVM, MS, DAC, VIM. She's smart, She is the Vice President of Medical Excellence and Education for over 400 hospitals in the Thrive Pet Healthcare family. So, yeah. She's smart. She's supporting
Thrive Baby. Too.
So it is the meowment of truth. We're going to talk about chronic kidney disease. I think everybody with a cat needs this information. So we'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support 19 Cats and Counting on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
I'm very careful about the products that I choose because I have built a reputation over 4 decades where cat parents trust me and they know that when I recommend a brand or talk about a particular product, they know it came from my heart and I really believe it. I've done my research with Pet Greens. I love the products. I love the quality. And one of the things that I feel just stands out is the education that Pet Greens provides. They guide you every step of the way. It's a relationship. I know how much they love cats and how much they love cat welfare and cat health, and that's their motivation.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall. Happy Healy here with my blonde BFF, Rita Reimers.
How is it June already? Of course, it'll be later when people hear this, but wow.
This year has just disappeared.
I know.
But I know you've dealt with kidney disease in cats.
Unfortunately.
And I kind of always like...
Yes. I know. It seems to be like the kidney disease comes up and you go, you know, you pretty much expect it's going to be kidney or thyroid.
You're diabetes. Old.
But does it have to be this way? That's what I want to know from Dr. Kelly.
Let's find out. Dr. Kelly, thank you for joining us again. We love you and we look forward to this so much.
Ladies, happy Fry Cat Day.
Yes, I like that.
Fry Cat
Day. It is my favorite day of the month to get to spend this time with you and educate our kitty-loving friend. So thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
You have no idea how much the knowledge that you have given us has not only helped us with our own cats, but with our clients. When they bring something up, it's like we've sent the Pandora syndrome clip over to so many people.
We talk about that so much.
So much. And it's all education we got from you. So we are very grateful. It's like going to class. We're getting schooled. So kidney disease. Like Rita said, we just kind of have started to expect that after age 15 or so, this cat's going to get kidney disease. So first, what is it?
Kidney disease. So as a board certified small animal internal medicine specialist, I have had the pleasure of helping cats with chronic kidney disease live a really long time and feel good while doing so. It is a very common condition. About 1 in 3 senior cats will develop chronic kidney disease. So it's typically an age-related condition. And what it is, it's where the kidney degrades to where the kidney is not working normally. And it gets to the point where only a small percentage of the kidney is working, which then leads to a buildup of toxin in the bloodstream and the kidney doesn't feel well. So it's basically chronic kidney disease is the most common cause of eventually kidney failure in the cat. It's the functional unit of the kidney is not working well. But what I'm so excited to chat with you guys about today and educate our kitty-loving friends on is that this disease does not happen right at one time. The cat doesn't have it. Now today, the cat has it. It is a slow continuum. And what we're going to talk about is knowledge, which is how and power. Knowledge is power.
Amen.
Of how you can work with your veterinarian to identify when your kitty has very, very early mild decline in kidney function, early chronic kidney disease, and how you can identify that as soon as possible using available testing. Because the earlier we know it's there, the more we can do to slow progression and minimize complications. We don't want to find it when it's very, very end stage.
Right. When I take my cats in for their senior panel or to get screened for something, he shows me the blood test results and it shows the different levels of what's in the blood. He's usually looking at something called the bun, if I remember right, for kidney. Is that correct?
B-U-N is correct. The bun. And this is not a delightful sesame bun. This is the blood urea nitrogen bun. And so what this is how the body processes nitrogen. Nitrogen comes from a lot of things, and it comes most notably from the protein in our food. So when you take all of that protein and you do the things you need to do with it for energy, you have this nitrogen and you have to get rid of it somehow. And so it gets turned into this bun and then it gets excreted or urinated out through the kidney. When the kidney can't do that, the bun builds up in the bloodstream along with some other things the kidney's meant to filter out that your body does not want inside of it, like creatinine and phosphorus. And so as those values go up in the bloodstream, it tells us the kidney is not filtering well. The kidney is not working well. So that's what the bun is.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because I just nod and go, okay, if you say so.
I know. Right? Yeah. Exactly. We trust you. Are there any early warning signs that we might see that we should be watching for?
Such a great question. So let me chat with y'all about the symptoms of kidney disease. Yes. And then I'm going to share with you what we should do before we even see those symptoms to be even more proactive with our wellness care. So the symptoms of chronic kidney disease are most commonly increased thirst and urination as the first thing we see. Now, when it gets very advanced and the kitty is in severe kidney failure and those toxins, the bad bun, and the creatinine build up in the bloodstream, a kidney can be lethargic, depressed, inappetent, anorexia, vomiting. But even way before that, we will see increased thirst and urination. There's very few things that cause that in the cat. So if you notice increased thirst or urination, all of a sudden those clumps of litter are really gigantic in the litter box, get to your veterinarian. They'll do some simple blood and urine tests because there's a few things we're going to want to rule out, including kidney disease, diabetes or problems regulating blood sugar, and high-functioning thyroid gland as probably the big three. There are some others, okay? So that's the most common symptom. What we can do, though, even before we see that, is make sure you're getting your kitty who's over the age of 10 to your veterinarian twice a year for proactive wellness examination and laboratory testing. Because 6 months for an older kitty is like a good 5 to 7 years for you and I. So that's a significant length of time for your cat.
That's an interesting way to think of it. I don't think many people do relate that 6 months for them is a much longer lifetime span for us.
It's 4 or 5 years for your cat. So think about how me at a certain age, I'm delighted to share that I'm hit my 50s. Woo! And feel better than ever.
Welcome.
I'm going to go to my doctor to have some screenings. So a cat that's 10, it's kind of like a person who's 50. Let's get them in twice a year. Your vet's going to be doing a good exam, feeling the size and shape of those kidneys, because sometimes they can get a little small and we can feel that on exam. Your vet's going to be doing some very simple blood and urine tests to assess the function of the kidneys. The blood and the urine together are critical to make that assessment, because what's really important for everyone to understand is that bad bun we talked about, that creatinine, those blood tests, they don't elevate until 75% of the kidney is not working.
Wow.
So they're insensitive markers. we can see other changes in the blood elevate sooner. Your vet will be doing a test called SDMA. It's a simple blood test that will elevate when about 40% of the kidney is not working. And your vet will take that result in combination with your analysis or urine test findings to be able to say to you, I think that your cat might have what's called stage one or early chronic kidney disease. There's some great resources online for Kitty Love and Friends to read about. The International Renal Interest Society. There's folks, material is on there designed for pet parents in very simple, easy to understand wording. So you can see the staging of kidney disease. There's four stages. Your veterinarian wants to partner with you to identify stage one.
Definitely.
Because as soon as we know, we're going to talk to you about what we're going to do to slow progression to keep the rest of that kidney functioning well for as long as possible, as well as to make sure there's no complications that could make things worse.
Yeah. So we understand now that this is going to be something definitely to watch out for senior. You know, it's the parts are wearing out as they do on all of us as we age. Is it only seniors, though? Can my four-year-old cat crop up with kidney disease, or do I not need to be watching?
So cats of any age can develop kidney disease because there's many causes. When a cat is younger than 8 to 10 years of age, chronic kidney disease or age-related degenerative kidney disease is less likely to occur below the age of 8 to 10. But absolutely, we could have a kitty that has other kidney problems younger in age. We could see a kidney infection lead to scar tissue, which then could predispose a cat to have significant problems as they get older. So sometimes it can be a little complicated and there's multiple pieces of the puzzle that go together. But what we call traditional chronic kidney disease that we see in older cats is more typically related to aging.
Okay. Now, everybody note what she said about it being complicated in the parts. And this is why we do not try to be our own veterinarians. Okay. That's I just want to throw that in there. You know, sometimes when people have had, and I'm guilty of this with my human kids, like I've seen strep throat so many times, I can diagnose it. I really can. I always know. I've just seen it so much. And I think sometimes we get, oh, I had a cat that was diabetic. It was drinking. This cat must be diabetic, right? Like, you know, we tend to be our own vets and it's a little more complicated than that. We really need some professional help, right?
Well, it's okay to suspect some things, but that's when you run to your vet and go, you know, I think it might be blah, blah. And your vet will tell you for sure what it is or isn't.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's a partnership because you know your kitty better than anybody. So when we partner with pet parents, we take that into account. And it is a robust partnership where the information that you give and what I call your gut is super critical as we partner with you to bring our expertise to the table to get the best outcome for your kitty.
Okay. I love you. 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 Because I've told people this is a lesson I learned with human children.
Yeah.
We had a pediatrician who, if he didn't feel it, it wasn't happening. And sometimes you're just like, something's wrong. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know, you know, or, well, she's sleeping. Oh, kids that age do. No, not my kid, you know, and I feel it. So I really learned that with medical doctors for human beings. And we've told clients many times, if you don't like what they say and you just feel it's wrong, get a second opinion. Like, that doesn't hurt your feelings, right? Like, I think sometimes they're afraid to tick off their vet and come back and say, well, I went to Dr. Smith.
You need to be your cat's advocate and you need to have a partnership with a healthcare provider for your cat that is the style of the human being that you want that meets your needs. So 100%, and no veterinarian is ever going to feel at all upset if you go to get a second opinion. As a matter of fact, just like when you go to a human physician or your pediatrician, they might refer you to see a specialist that partners with them. Your general practitioner, your primary care veterinarian, may send you to someone like me, a board-certified small animal internal medicine specialist who's completed an additional 4 years of internship and residency to only focus on those chronic diseases of internal body systems like chronic kidney disease. I partner very well with general practitioners. So absolutely, be your cat's advocate. talk to your veterinarian and make sure you have someone that's a right fit for you.
Yes. Let's say your vet has told you your kitty has stage one kidney failure. Now what? What do we do for that? Do we prevent it from growing? Do we just slow it down? We can't cure it, right?
Yeah. So once we identify kidney disease and it's staged, and hopefully we catch it at stage one, but there's still a lot we can do, even if it's a stage two, three, or four, then we are going to be talking to you about a few additional simple tests. These are simple blood and urine tests, nothing invasive, as well as a blood pressure, because we want to do what's called fully stage that kidney disease and make sure there's nothing going on that is going to change what we recommend. So there's certain things we always recommend, and we could talk more about those in a little bit, like diet and some other treatments. And then there's other things we only recommend if they're indicated. For example, cats with chronic kidney disease have a very high frequency of urinary tract infections, protein in the urine, which can be damaging, and high blood pressure, and some other hormone changes. So these very easy tests your vet will do will allow them to say to you, here's the specific customized plan for your cat. And those things will slow progression as best as we can.
I know Rita's going to take us into a break in a minute, but we've got
3 or 4 minutes before we have to.
All right. Well, I just wanted to ask about life expectancy. Let's say I've been told my cat's at stage one versus stage four. What can I expect? How much longer am I going to get to keep my cat?
So we talk about statistics. And then we always talk about individuals. So statistics are just the objective. Here's the average. And then we're not going to be doom and gloom about those numbers because we're also going to look at the individual. So in the same way that a person, say, that might have been given a cancer diagnosis, there's statistics associated with that tumor. So statistically speaking, a cat will live, assuming nothing else goes on, and we're only dealing with kidney disease, a cat will live the longest and feel the best while living the longest, certainly the earlier stage that they are versus the later stage. By the time you have a cat that is what we call stage four advanced kidney failure, where that bun and that creatinine are very high in the bloodstream, statistically speaking, they would be not likely to have a good quality of life and live more than a year or so. Could it be longer? Sure. Could it be shorter? Yes. But that's what I would say if it's very advanced. Now, on the other side of the coin, I've diagnosed many cats in stage one, early kidney disease, where we don't even have an elevation in the bun and creatinine. We've caught it before that happens. And I've had cats that, including some of my own cats, who have lived many years after that diagnosis.
Okay.
So this is not a death sentence.
That's good.
At all.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break.
Okay.
And we'll be back to talk more about kidney disease in kitties. Is it inevitable? Perhaps, perhaps not.
Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life, and it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Ready for the biggest cat celebration in the world? Come to the CFA International Cat Show and Expo in Cleveland, Ohio on October 12th and 13th. The Expo is the world's grandest cat celebration, seamlessly blending pedigree cat exhibitions with feline welfare and rescue initiatives. It captivates over 10,000 feline enthusiasts each year, celebrating all cats, whether rescue or pedigreed, in a shared spirit of love and unity. Dive into cat-themed activations and enlightening educational sessions. Marvel at 1,000 non-pedigree and pedigreed cats, adoptable felines, and explore over 100 cat-themed vendors. It's an event dedicated to honoring our beloved felines and their admirers. And guess what feline influencers are coming to meet and greet? YouTube cat video sensation Aaron's Animals, as well as Nathan the Cat Lady, Lambo Leisha, Chupi, and many, many more. gather your cat crew and do whatever it takes to head to the CFA Cat Expo. It's a whisker-wiggling, tail-twirling extravaganza you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at CFACatExpo.com. That's CFACatExpo.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting, the awesome Linda Hall, and our favorite veterinarian, Dr. Kelly Cairns of Thrive. She has too many credentials to even relist here, but I'd like to get back to talking more about the kidney disease. So what are the treatments like for kidney disease, and are they different at each stage?
So the treatments for kidney disease fall into a couple big buckets. One is diet. The other are certain medications. And what we do is based upon what that specific cat needs. The most important thing that every cat needs is a diet change. Cats with kidney disease at all stages can very much benefit from what we call a kidney diet. These are commercial diets. They are often prescription diets. Many great reputable manufacturers make these diets. And there's different types of kidney diets related to the stage of kidney disease. For example, there's a slightly different diet we might do for a stage one versus a stage four based upon what needs to be in the diet for that stage of disease. All of these kidney diets are lower in protein and phosphorus. And those two things, lowering those things, does confer a protective benefit to the kidney over time. We have some great actual data, evidence-based studies that show us that cats with chronic kidney disease who eat a kidney diet, in quotes, that their veterinarian has prescribed and recommended, they do live longer and feel better than cats who don't. And that's because of what is in the diet. There's a bunch of other great things in that diet, but lowering the phosphorus and the protein are the most important things.
Is there a different kind of protein? Or is it just less?
Yes, this is so anti-everything in our head, right? Cats are right. Look at carnivores. Protein, I know, protein, protein, right. Protein, protein, low protein.
It's a smaller quantity. So if you say we're weighing it, right? It's less protein, but high quality balanced protein. Okay. So it's not what we would think of for kitties that have allergies that can only eat certain types of proteins. It's not like that. It's just a lower amount of a high quality balanced protein.
Okay. That makes sense. So if I've got a stage four 20-year-old cat who is, old and has lived his life, are the treatments worth it by stage four, or is it okay?
By then you just feed him whatever.
Let's just realize that this cat is like 100 years old and let it go.
That's a very individualized question that you'll want to talk to your veterinarian about, because there's so many variables. There's definitely things that still can be done to help a kitty symptomatically feel well and even slow progression to keep those remaining kidney cells working. And then you have to balance, will the cat take the medication? Is the cat fighting? Does that become a quality of life limiting thing? With diet too, the most important thing for any cat is always that the cat eats. Otherwise we get weak, we get, malnourished, we can get dehydrated. Dehydration is the enemy of kidney disease. We need lots of water. We cannot let these kitties get dehydrated. And so that's a combination of lots of water sources. If your cat likes freshwater fountains, if your cat likes to drink out of your cup instead of their bowl, so you trick your cat. I do that all the time at home. And then with diet, if a kitty is intermittently inappetent or nauseous or not wanting to eat, then we have to be pragmatic in terms of whatever the cat will eat. And then there might be some what we call symptomatic or palliative medications we can give that will help a kitty decrease nausea, increase appetite, so they feel good, even if we're not treating any longer directly the kidney disease. And this is where your veterinarian is your advocate. You have that conversation and you find a plan that's going to work for everybody.
That was my big issue. The cats would get to a point where they wouldn't eat. Remember, I was going so crazy with Missy Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I actually talked with you about her.
It was, yeah, she was in hell. Yeah, literally, it was bad.
But so was, so were the cats. I mean, exactly. It finally became apparent it was time to let her go. But, you know, for a while there, she wasn't ready. It was just a matter of trial and error getting her to eat something. And no, she would not eat anything on the kidney diet. So.
So that's like
she was 20, so you know she had a good life, and I just pretty much let her eat whatever she would eat, so that
put her
she
on,
wouldn't
put
die.
Her on hospice. Yes, yeah,
so I didn't want her to starve to death.
Exactly. So, is there something I can do for my younger cats now to prevention. Make it less likely that they'll have kidney disease in the future?
At this point in time, there's nothing really out there that's a magic bullet to prevent a cat getting chronic kidney disease, but being able to do those blood and urine tests frequently for the duration of the kitty's life is going to allow you to identify, like we talked about, as early as possible so that we can use all the things in our toolkit to help you and kitty so you can have a great life together for, like I said, a really long time.
Yes.
Very, very manageable. Now, I am excited to talk to you, though, about where we might go in the future in terms of future state. So I've been delighted to see the energy globally in the veterinary community, research community surrounding identifying targeted therapeutics or treatments for cats, for cat specific things, y'all. Cats are not small dogs. And we see the fruit of that labor and we see the fruit of that passion and energy to help our cats in a lot of great products that have come out that are FDA approved for cats, which is a big deal. We've talked about this recently. Everybody should go on your website and check out the podcast we did on diabetes in cats.
Oh, definitely.
We have a new treatment. It's a novel mechanism of action, meaning a new class of drugs that previously had only been for people. And now we have an FDA approved drug for cats. In that same spirit, there's been a lot of energy in the veterinary community across the globe for the last 10 or 15 years surrounding why do older senior cats seem to get chronic kidney disease with so much more frequency than dogs? We know about 1 in 3 cats will develop chronic kidney disease by the age of 10 or older, and it's really only 1 in 10 dogs.
Wow.
So I don't know that we have all the answers, but we're getting closer to the why or potentially the whys. It may be more than one reason. And there's been some great work coming out of some very innovative researchers in Japan. And there was some news articles actually published this spring that they've been doing research and they've identified a possible target for potential therapy or treatment in a forward state.
That's
so there's
awesome.
No drug yet. There's no drug yet, but there might be with a little bit of funding, additional time, and a little bit of luck, a little bit of magic fairy dust. We are cautiously optimistic we might have a medication in a clinical trial setting, maybe even as soon as 2025.
Wow.
Because if this drug does, or this target does what we think by the initial studies it might, then it could be that we could actually not have chronic kidney disease be such a big thing for cats so early on.
That would be awesome.
And the initial data suggests maybe even as long as nothing else happens to that kitty, maybe even the kitty's lifespan could go up to be 20 to 30. So again, way too premature to have that crystal ball, but I am so excited by this. And I'm so grateful for the energy that the global community is putting behind this because we really are passionate as a profession about doing more to help cats and the people who love them.
Wow. You, could you imagine some of our younger cats that we have?
I actually almost teared up.
My sweetie pie, I told her she has to live to be at least 35. So,
oh, I told my daughter the other day, when Rita loses sweetie, we're leaving the country. I can't.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
I'd be at your house, but it's going to be bad. Yes. But yeah, I literally my eyes started.
She's only 5. It's all right.
I know. And we've got all the knowledge to help her out. I think in general, you know, especially Rita, she's been in this field longer than I have, but even as long ago as when I jumped in, cats seem to have been the forgotten animal. They're like this
so the redheaded stepchildren.
Yes, they're like this accessory you have on the farm to eat the mice. And we haven't seen as many products. You know, there's many dog focused products that we've recommended to people, like food puzzles and things for cats, because there's a lack of them for cats. So I think we're starting to see, like, you're the one that told us about Solensia, that's for the arthritis, the first FDA approved for medication for it for cats.
I remember.
And now this, is this a switch up in everybody's thinking?
Well, I will tell you, it's not a switch up in terms of, well, now we're leaving the dogs on Lonely Island. There's a lot of great new work that's coming out and new drugs in the same spirit for dogs. So Solensia is that drug you mentioned for cats to treat pain associated with osteoarthritis or age-related arthritis. And there's also a dog product that does the same thing for dogs called Librela. So what we're seeing is, again, a deepening in the commitment and investment in the even pharmaceutical space by amazing companies that make drugs for spending the time and the money to fund veterinary researchers to actually get these products to the finish line. And so that is leading to more focus on cats and a deepening of the focus that there had been on dogs. So it's an exciting time. And I think what it really reflects is that, and this is so delightful, everybody, is that we've always known how important pets are to people and the importance of the human-animal bond. And I don't know, I'm just speculating here. I'm sure it's complicated, but I think one of the silver linings of COVID was a reinvigoration of the recognition of the value of not only human-to-human relationships, but human and pet relationships.
It's so true.
The universe is wanting to do things, to invest into things that allow that bond to continue and deepen. And to do that, we need to double down on what we're doing to keep those pets feeling good.
Yeah,
oh, it's so true. We just had on the guy that founded the Boss brands, Boss dog food, Boss cat food, maybe Boss parrot food coming out soon.
Yeah.
But he said he's noticing a shift in the pet food industry going more towards holistic and wellness for both cats and dogs. And there's actually a lot more new brands coming out for cats than I've ever seen before in the last few years.
That's totally true too. We're seeing in the pet food space, as you mentioned, you know, pet parents have a, you know, renewed kind of, kind of zest for really making sure that their pet is getting great nutrition and looking at all the different ways you can accomplish that. You know, whether it's a traditional store-bought diet or a homemade diet or a store-bought different diet, right? Like one of the, you talk about holistic or natural, right? Or even, you know, some of the complementary diets that are out there. So
yeah,
I think it's a great time overall.
It is.
It's very exciting.
Yes.
Thank you so much for bringing us all this great information and all these breakthroughs and new things that are coming out. It's really making me think my cats are going to be outliving me. Sorry, Linda.
Right.
Linda's a little younger than me. So if I go first, she inherits whoever I have.
Kelly, I am the beneficiary. Well, the cat's the beneficiary of life insurance policy, but I'm the guardian of it. If Rita gets hit by a bus tomorrow, I've got 30 cats. So please pray for a very long life for Rita. Please.
Vice versa. She has 11 of the sanctuary cats. I end up with all 30 of them here. So, yeah.
I'm in trouble if that happens. So, yeah.
Any last words of wisdom for us, Dr. Kelly? I always love your departing advice. Now I just put you on the spot.
We always like to give our kitty loving friends an actionable toolkit. So let's just review. What are some take home points here that we learned? So I want everyone who has a kitty in their life that they love to remember that chronic kidney disease is common in older cats. And we're not really sure what causes it, but it's just kind of age-related, kind of kidneys don't work as well. It will progress over time. And it is important that you know that you can identify it early. Proactive wellness care to have that older cat seen by your veterinarian twice a year for routine examination, conversation, and some simple blood and urine tests so we can identify if your cat has it as early as possible. And then listen to your veterinarian's recommendations with what they feel is best surrounding diet and any medications, because those are going to be the custom package for your cat to slow progression of this chronic disease and to minimize complications like potentially high blood pressure or associated urinary tract infection. Okay. And know that even if your vet says to you, okay, your kitty has stage 3 or even stage 4, where those toxins have built up, There's still a lot of things that can be done to help your kitty feel good for as long as possible. So we are going to be positive and proactive.
Nice.
Best advice. Yep.
Yes, that's definitely the best advice. And kitty parents love hearing that all is not gloom and doom. It's not, but make sure you have a good relationship with your veterinarian.
Yes.
Linda Hall, my best friend, ride or die. You need to get down here to the Carolinas before I fly up there and bring you down.
All right. Come get me.
Dr. Kelly, as always, we thank you for your wisdom, your advice, your humor, and everything. I can't thank you enough for being a regular part of 19 Cats and Counting. And of course, Mark Winter, our awesome producer who edits us and makes us sound so good. Thank you for this spot on Pet Life Radio. We so appreciate it. And just remember, every day of your life is Caturday, not just Saturday. Every day is Caturday. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.